Ephesians 3 and verse 14 through the end of the chapter, verse 21. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says this: "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen." Read verse 16 with me aloud, would you? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Lord, we love you and we thank you for the scripture that we have tonight. I thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit in our life. I think of this passage of scripture that teaches us of that strengthening by your might in our inner man, Lord, to know the working of your Holy Spirit in our life that strengthens us and equips us. Lord, I pray that as we look at this matter of finding strength in our lives, this spiritual strength, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, feed us from your word, and give us what you'd have for us to have this evening. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Finding strength, that verse there, it says, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Jimmy Kolb, on July 29th of last year, had a world record bench press. And I don't know, anybody know what it might be? And you know what it is? You got it, don't you? 1,400 pounds. Can you imagine that? I think the guy weighed 800 pounds, all right? And I saw the guy. But world record bench press, 1,400 and some odd pounds. In 1993, a guy named Greg Ernest lifted the world record for the most weight ever lifted. And he lifted it with his back. He was on all fours. He lifted 5,340 pounds. 5,340 pounds. Previously, he had lifted up two oxen on his own, one on one side and one on the other. And I watched a video on the guy, and it's no wonder when you see some of those guys why they can lift that type of weight. I saw an officer. I've seen him a couple times out here in Columbus, and he's one of the motorcycle police officers, and the guy is about three guys wide, all right? And if I were a criminal, I'd just lay down the moment I saw him, all right? As a matter of fact, I think I would ask him to tase me before he did anything else, all right? But he's massive. But we think about that physical strength that we have, that you get in your life. And I think of the Bible. The Bible would tell us this in 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." Boy, bodily exercise, it refers to it profiting little because it only profits in this time. It can give you, if you will, a better quality of life in this world, but it'll fade away. There's nothing you can do about it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Boy, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. God strengthens us and equips us. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is praying for the church that they would know that inner strength, that strengthening of the Spirit of God in their life. That physical strength is no doubt needed in our life and fades with time, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can ward it off a little bit, but one day you will lose it one way or the other. But there is a spiritual strength that God gives that matters for all of eternity. And I think of how incredibly important it was. Paul was a man who knew much about what it meant to need the strength of God. He at one time would face that thorn in the flesh, and he would call upon God, "Would you remove it?" Three times he would ask it of the Lord. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh. We assume, because of some comments in Galatia that he would make to the church at Galatia, that maybe it was an infirmity with his eyes, something of that nature. But he would ask the Lord to remove it from him, but the Lord would say no to him, but he would say, "My grace is sufficient for thee. I won't remove your infirmity. I won't remove this weakness, but I'll give you a spiritual strength to continue." And we ever go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need the spiritual strength of God to go forward." I think of young people as they sort out what God will have for them and that importance of faith in our life. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. I believe this, any step forward for the Lord that God will lead you to will require an element of faith in your life. It will require you to trust God. Not every sort, not every area will be worked out. I think it's important to remember as parents, you know, as you look to guiding your children and making the decisions that God would have for them, you yourself as a parent will not have everything figured out in life. I've told my wife, I want to make decisions for my children, decisions of faith, not decisions of fear. I don't want to make decisions for my family based upon what I'm afraid might happen, but rather what God would call me to do. Decisions of faith and not of fear. And that's a call of the Christian, to follow the Lord, to follow and trust Him and to move forward even when we don't understand, to find that spiritual strength. By the way, one of those fruits of the Spirit is faith. It's faith. There's nowhere God calls us to make decisions out of fear, but He does call us to make decisions out of faith, to follow Him, to follow His direction and His will, to find strength in trial. Paul knew what it was like. The church knew what it was like. I think of that passage of Scripture in Corinthians when Paul would list the many physical things that he had faced in his life, shipwrecked, a night and the day in the deep, beaten and left for dead. I think of those that would forsake Paul along the way. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And what it must have been like one day, and maybe it was after a prison experience where Paul had spent some time in prison and Demas had been there with him. And Demas said, you know what, I'd rather have the world than have this following of Christ. I'd rather have the pleasure of sin for a season than to endure this affliction with you, Paul, on your journey. And I doubt he worded it that way, but he would return to the world. I wonder what it was like for him, John Mark. And we know no man's perfect, but John Mark. No wonder he and Barnabas had such a conflict over that when John Mark would leave him and go home. We don't know why he went home, but we know he left him, maybe on one of those journeys. He knew what it was like to see the failure of people around him. He knew what it was like to experience heartache and trouble in life. And he certainly knew what it was like to endure those physical things in life. And in this passage of Scripture, when he's calling to that church at Ephesus, he's praying for them. He's praying for them. And he said, I want you to be strengthened with the might by His Spirit in the inner man. The inner man. To know the strengthening hand of God in your life. The strengthening grace of God. I think there's some truths in this passage of Scripture that call us to how we may find that strengthening hand of God. That when we face those moments when the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, where we find the Spirit of God, the strengthening hand of God in our life. And the first thing I want you to notice is the place for strength. The place for strength. Look at verse 14, and I think this is one of the key verses here. He said, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he thought of this church and their need for strength, I think when he thought of his own need for strength in his life, it brought him to a place of doing something, and that is prayer. For this cause, I bow my knees. He said, I know you need something. I know you need strength. I know what the church faces in that day. And, you know, we live in a day and age in which it's almost like you can see the clouds of oppression and things right around the corner. You see it in what the world values, and you see it on display when you watch things like happened this week at the Olympics, or you view the views of politicians in the secular world. It seems like Christianity, at least in our own country, is very much falling out of favor, doesn't it? You maybe see a little bit of it, but far, friend, far, far, far from what this church knew. I mean, today, when we take that step of baptism, you know, many folks, what they fear when baptized is merely just the opinions of folks around us. But in the time of Paul, to have that public display of faith in Christ and identification with Christ could cost you your life. It could cost you your livelihood. It could cost you everything. Persecution. There was a time of persecution. He would write with them. And he said, you need the strengthening hand of God. And where did he go to get it? Prayer. Prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in what? Time of need. Prayer. When you need God's strength, you need prayer. We need prayer. I think of those times when we're facing those things that we feel the heavy load of a situation of life, a circumstance in life, or a decision in life, or whatever it may be, a call of God in our life, where we ought to run first is our Lord. We ought to run to Him. And Paul makes a statement in this passage of Scripture. He said, because of this, for this cause, I bow my knee. I come before my Father. I come before that throne of grace. Think of that very familiar promise in Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. How about Matthew 6, 5 and 6? And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, boy, if you want physical strength in this life, you'll set some time aside. You'll go to the gym, you'll run, you'll exercise in your garage, you'll do whatever it can to find that time and that place when you will exercise your physical body and strengthen it. And I will tell you this, spiritual strength comes from our time with God. Our time with Him. You know, if we're not careful, we leave an anemic Christian life. A life without the strength necessary for the spiritual things that are ahead of us. We fall without notice because we're unprepared and ill-equipped for the trial that lies ahead of us because we have not spent time with our God. When we face a struggle in life, rather than running to the God, we try to stand in our own strength and just move forward. But that's a very limited strength. It is a strength that has a guaranteed limit to its capability. But God's strength is limitless. The place. I promise you this, and not because I promise it, but rather because God's word promises it. When you face that struggle of life, what you need more than anything is to hear from God. Remember Elijah when he was ready to quit, ready to give up? He had been there on Mount Carmel. I mean, he just had one of his great victories, one of those great victories of God. And God had sent fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar. The prophets of Baal had been slain. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And God had proved himself. And then Jezebel had made that statement, Elijah, you're going to be like they are. You're going to be like they are before long. And man, he said, Lord, just take me home. But he did find strength somewhere in the presence of God. In the presence of God. There is a strength that one finds in God's presence. There's a strength that one finds in a certain place, and it's in their time before the Lord. It's good to encourage one another. It's good to provoke one another. It's good to spend time among God's people and to find that strength that's found there. But I will tell you this, there's no strength like the strength that God provides for his people when they spend time with him. When they spend time with him, the place. Notice this, the presence of strength, verses 16 and 17. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might by his spirit. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. It is the presence of God in our life, isn't it? 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John 15:4-5, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's an absolute, isn't it? Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, he would tell Mary, when he would tell her that she was with child with the Christ child, the angel would say to her that with God, nothing is impossible. But in this passage of Scripture, he'd say, without me, everything is impossible. What you want that matters for an eternity, that matters for what goes on for all of eternity, must be accomplished in the strength of God. I think of that as a parent. for my five children, trying to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I know this, that if I will do that, it must be God. It must be God's grace. And I believe this, the greatest ingredient to any family that produces not merely good kids, but godly kids, will be their prayer life. Their prayer life. Calling upon God. Relying on His word. Going to Him and interceding on their behalf. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul would intercede on behalf of that church at Ephesus. For this cause, I bow the knee. For this cause, I go before the Lord. I think in our own life, for this cause, we must go before the Lord. We must bring our requests before Him and lift our voices up in praise. And if we're not careful, we go on in our own strength, expecting to see an eternal reward, but we get temporal gains. Eternal things happen when we see God at work. And God works when God's people call upon Him. He says in this verse, it is the Spirit of God that moves in our life. The Spirit of God. Friend, it is the Holy Spirit of God that strengthens. It's not an extra cup of coffee. It's not a five-hour energy. It's not a monster drink, right? It is getting a hold of God and seeing Him move in our heart and our life. What is it that will make you keep going before the Lord in the face of a great struggle? His Holy Spirit. What is it that will make you faithful to the end? To be able to say like Paul, I fought the good fight, I finished my course. It is the Holy Spirit of God. What is it that will help you lift up your voice in boldness for Christ when the flesh says, just be silent? Well, it's the Holy Spirit of God. What is it that will cause you to live right before the Lord? It's the Holy Spirit of God at work in our heart. That we might know the fullness of God, that we might know what it's like to be filled with His Spirit, to be in surrender to who He is and what He says, and plead for Him to working on our behalf. We see that place, we see God's presence, and we see this, the premise of our strength. Look at verse 17. It says this phrase, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. By faith. And then he would continue with this, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. A faith in God's word, a faith in Him. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you jump over a chapter and look at chapter 4, verse 11, it talks about God's working in the church. And he says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and have all knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He's speaking about spiritual growth and the way it happens in the church. That's why God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's an element of growth that happens in the church. And he would list those folks that brought it. And he said, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And what is the responsibility of the apostle, of the pastor, of the teacher? And apostles, that gift is no longer there. But what is the responsibility of them? Well, Paul would tell it to Timothy this way, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This element, this premise, this rock solid foundation of the strength of God comes from a firm faith in what He has written in His word. A firm, growing faith in what God has said. It's a strengthening element, how God strengthens us in our life. When I can say, it is written. It is written. This is what God has said. We're Baptists, aren't we? What does that capital B in Baptist stand for? Bible authority in all matters of faith and practice. Show me what the Bible says. That firm foundation. We don't have what the Bible says on the matter. We don't have a foundation on the matter. And here he calls, friend, there is a strengthening element that comes in our life when we know what God's word has said. It's what brought you salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Lord would say through John in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. These things have I written unto you. We know the way of salvation because we know what he said on salvation. The promises of God's word and the doctrines of that book are directly related to the Christian strength. And your commitment to that word will impact your strength to stand. Your relationship with that book will determine it all. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A leaning on the word of God, a running towards his promises. And Paul says, my prayer for you, my desire for you is that you would be strengthened. I believe this, friend. There is a place you go to find God's strength. It is on your knees before God. It is on your knees before him. It is on our knees, that place of strength and that presence of God that stirs in our life as we run to his word and get that rock solid premise of this foundation to our strength. What has God said? I've said it before, but I love the passage of scripture in John where it says, there's many other things, and I'm going to have to paraphrase that could be written, but these are written that ye might believe. He would say, the world could not contain the books that would be written of the things that God has said, but these are written. God could have written so much more, but he wrote what he knew we needed. That's what he wrote. He knew we needed it. Line upon line, precept upon precept. To be a solid foundation in our faith, to direct us in our steps. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Samuel's 12, and he keeps thinking about what God's got for him in the long term. I told him, son, you're thinking way too far ahead, right? God is a step by step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Friend, he often reveals step by step, not mile by mile, right? Step by step. But I'll tell you where finding God's will starts at, a clean heart, searching the word, prayerfully calling upon God, surrendering to what he directs and what he says. A call to lean on faith in God, to rest in what he said, to lean on his promises. And then he says this, he would say this about it, and an indescribable love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth what? Knowledge. That ye might be filled with the fullness of God. That ye may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on charity or the love of Christ, he would list certain gifts and he would say, but the greatest of these is what? Charity. Charity. To know the love of God. I tell you something, if there is something you can spend your lifetime trying to sort out about God and still find something that passes our knowledge, it is his love for us. I like the verses. You know them pretty well in Romans where it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distresses or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's hard to wrap your mind around how much God loves us. God loved you before you loved Him. He loved you when you rejected Him. He loved man when He knew Adam and Eve would turn away from Him and eat of that tree and turn away from God. And He's loved every man since. He loves you just as much today as He will tomorrow, regardless of the decisions that you make in your life. I was speaking with someone about they just trusted Christ and given them assurance of their salvation. I showed them this and I spoke of this verse and this fact that God's love is consistent and the same and nothing can separate us from it, right? Fellowship is different, isn't it? Matter of fact, our fellowship can be strained because of how much God loves us. Friend, you only really truly have the power to hurt someone who loves you, right? You can make someone who hates your guts angry, but you can't really hurt them, can you? But that person who loves you, you have the greatest capability of hurting. The one that we have the greatest capability of hurting in life is our God, because there's no one who loves us as much as He does. And thus we strive to please Him with our life, to live in accordance because of how much He loves us. But, friend, you can study and examine the love of God, and it passes knowledge. Look in your rearview mirror for a moment and look at your life and realize something. God's loved me every step of the way. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't really even love you? Right? You looked in the mirror and you really didn't like the one that looked out back at you? God loved you anyway. God loves us anyway. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And friend, that is incredibly strengthening. It is incredibly strengthening to know that my God loves me all the time. It'll drive you to your knees. Dear Lord, why? I'm sorry I've been wrong. I'm sorry. I have sinned. It'll make you call upon Him because you know He's ready to hear and ready to answer because He loves you. It'll give strength to you. Or let me keep going because I know that you love me. And by the way, friend, He loves the one next to you just as much as He loves you. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. When you decide to say a word, the one you speak of, God loves you. God loves them just as much as He loves you. Nothing. The premise of that strength in our life, that foundation upon which we lean, it's rooted deep in His Word. And your strength will be in relation to your knowledge of His Word and your relationship with it. It'll come from that aspect of the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That strength that comes from those premises will grow as you spend time with Him in prayer, as you call upon Him and lift your voice up for Him, the presence of His Spirit in your life. And we see the promise of His strength. Next, look at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's His promise. There's His promise, isn't it? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we have ever asked. He can do more. You put it down, God can do more. You think of it, and God can do more. We're finite. He is not. There is no limit. Friend, if he could turn the Nile River into blood, If he could make frogs cover the land and lice come from the ground, if he could make the earth dark in the time of there in Egypt, if he could part the Red Sea and make water come out of the rock and manna come down from heaven, if he could give them victory and when the rod of Moses was held up, if he could make the sun stand still in battle, if he could make the walls of Jericho fall, if he could make fire come down from heaven on Mount Carmel, if he could raise the dead, if he could make the blind to see, if he could do those things, then friend, there is no limit to who he is. And the greatest of all miracles there in an empty tomb, amen? Every other person ever to rise, someone spoke the words, come forth, right? But when Jesus rose, no one spoke but him, because he is the resurrection and the life, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Abundantly above. We struggle with what lies ahead, and yet God says, look to me. Because he can do more than anybody else. The strength of God. Whatever we face, whether it's a terrible temptation in our life, or a terrible circumstances in our life, or a call of God in our life that makes us shake at the thought of moving forward and what he asks of us. Not understanding that we are unequipped, and yet he knows how unequipped we are, and yet he says, I'll equip you. Where does the strength come from? Your knees. Calling upon God, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Running to his word. Spending time with him. And if you look at it, you see the purpose of that strength in verse 21. And I'll be finished. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church. Why does God strengthen us? So there can be done something in our life that the only explanation for is God. The only explanation for is God. Can you look back at your life and see moments when you have to say, the only explanation for what happened there was God? Salvation is a good place to look. Salvation is a good place to look. The only reason we're saved is God. I didn't look at it too much, didn't our first service, but looking this morning at the book of Exodus as they would put that blood over the doorposts of the door. You know how they would do that? They would do that with hyssop. And that hyssop was often used in the Old Testament in different moments of the ceremony. They apply things with hyssop, just a flimsy branch that they would brush that on. Talk about a picture of our faith, right? For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Faith. Is it in the quality of our faith? It's not faith in faith that saves us, is it? It's the object of our faith that saves us, not the quality of our faith that saves us. Faith, the grain of a mustard seed, God would speak of. It is what we place our faith in that matters. Remember the man that would cry out to Jesus as his son who was a lunatic and possessed with a demon and cast him into the fire and trying to take his own life, and he would go before the Lord, and the Lord said, if thou believest. And the man would make this statement, Lord, I believe, help thou my what? Unbelief. He had a little bit of faith. His quality of his faith wasn't all that great, but he put his faith that he had in what mattered, and that was Jesus. Faith in him. Faith in God. To rest our faith in him. And why does he do that? So that at the end of the day, we can look back and we can say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. I don't want to come to the end of my life and look back and say, look what Seth Hahn has done. I remember this day. It was on LeGros Road in Marion, Indiana, around the corner from my parents' house. God had called me to preach. I knew that. And some things weren't lining up the way I expected them to line up. Anybody have those moments and think, God's just not lining them up the way you thought he would line them up? And I remember I was driving around the block. It was 4 miles. Everything's flat there in northern Indiana. If you've ever been there, you can see for miles, all right? And there where my parents are in the country, it's a square mile. You go a mile one way, a mile the other, a mile the way, then you can go a square mile, all right? They live at 434 west, 500 north, all right? That's 5 miles north of the center of the county, all right? And 4 miles and whatever, 34 miles west of the center of the county. So you get that address, you know exactly where you're going. If you want to find it, you can do it, all right? Grant County, Indiana. But driving around LeGros Road, And I remember, and I'd been asking God for something, and it was finally on LaGrolla Road. I just pulled over and I said, "Lord, if you don't give any of those things to me in my life, I am fine. But would you do something that I can look back and know it wasn't me that did it? Would you do that?" Friend, God wants to do something in our life that we know and others know it wasn't us. It's okay to step out into a place that you don't feel qualified, because if you feel qualified, it's probably going to be able to be attributed to you. Can I tell you this as a parent? If your children step out and do something for the Lord, and you as a parent say, "I don't really think that's what they're good at or equipped for," but they find God's leading, kick them into it. It's okay for God to do something in their life that you can't explain, and neither can they. It is. It's called faith. It's called God doing something in our life that is clearly God. And here in this passage of Scripture, he said, here's why you need strength. Because when you come to the thing in your life that is too big for you, you find God's strength to move forward. And you look back and say, look what God has done. When you find the task that God calls you to do that you don't feel equipped to do, and you move forward anyway, trusting when you find God's strength, you can look back and say, look what God has done. The trial, the circumstance, the call that comes our way. Paul looked at that church and he said, I bow the knee for you. I bow the knee for you. And there's a good way right there, friend, in this passage of Scripture to pray for those around you. I bow the knee for you. I bow. I bow that we might know the presence of God at work in our life, his strengthening spirit in that inner man, that we might rest in the premise of that strength, his word and his love, that we would lean on his promise that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And as a result of that, what we do with our life, it wouldn't be what we have done with our life, but what God has done with our life. And friend, not just in the big decisions of life, but in the small everyday matters of life, that we are led by him and strengthened by his hand. And Paul would say, you're going to need strength. And nothing has changed about the Christian life. You're going to need strength. We don't often recognize it as much as we do because we live in a very blessed society, don't we? We live in a society in which things are readily available to us, and we don't often recognize how much we need him. But I will tell you this, when it comes to the things that matter for an eternity, you desperately need him. Because without him, we can do nothing. Nothing. And in this passage of Scripture, he calls us to be strengthened. I'll tell you where you can find it. You want physical strength? Hit the gym tomorrow. You want spiritual strength? Hit your knees tomorrow. Run to the Word tomorrow. Rest in his love tomorrow. Lean on his promise tomorrow. And bring God glory tomorrow. I will tell you, if you don't do those things, spiritual weakness is what's there. You can flex in a physical mirror in this life and have plenty of strength that will fade one day. But in the spiritual mirror, that is the measurement. The measurement. My knees before my God. The promises of his word and what he says, and stepping out by faith and following him and letting our lives bring glory to his name. From the big things of life to the regular everyday things of life that God just flat let come our way that we were not expecting. But God uses them to bring honor and glory to his name and not to ours. So that when we leave this world behind, people don't remember us nearly as much as they remember the one we served. His name is Jesus. It's okay to be forgotten as long as Jesus is remembered. Amen. It's all right to pass off the scene of history. And by the way, you will be sooner or later, right? Maybe a few generations. It may be one generation. But sooner or later, we'll fade into history if God tarries. But we don't want him to ever fade. Amen. And he never will, by the way. But let's pray together. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the promises of this passage of Scripture. And I pray that we lean on your strength. or whatever lies ahead. Maybe there's a temptation we face in our life and are dealing with. Maybe there's a struggle in our life that we're dealing with. Maybe there's a call or some instruction that you've given to us in our life that we question how we'll be able to accomplish it. And yet, in your word, you promise strength. Or we'll find strength on our knees and resting in the premises of faith and in your love for us. We'll find strength, Lord, in your presence of your Holy Spirit in our life. We'll find that strength in your promises and fulfilling your purpose. I pray that we'd have it tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you can say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved"? That's settled for me. You'd raise your hand as a testimony. Say, "Preacher, I know that I know Christ." Thank you. You may put your hand down. Anybody here this evening say, "Preacher, I'm unsure about that fact. I'm not sure that I know him, but I'd sure like to put my trust in him this evening." Is there anybody like that? You'd say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody here say, "Preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart this evening." Maybe there's a specific matter in your life that you need God's strength in, and God reminded you where to find it. Maybe it's a call to bring him glory or to endure those things. But you'd say, "Preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart this evening." Would you raise your hand? And would you stand with me as that pianist begins to play, as that time of prayer is available? And boy, as God has spoken to your heart, do business with him. Maybe it's just a moment on your knees before the Lord and asking him to direct or to strengthen your life. But guys, God has spoken. Do business with the Lord this evening.